Welcome to the Real Presence, Real Future podcast, a podcast dedicated to increasing the presence of Christ throughout the Diocese of Columbus through the values of boldness, collaboration, joy, humility, and active listening. I'm Father Mike Harchie, and today with me is Dan Salucci, the CEO of Catholic Leadership Institute and the project lead for our Columbus collaboration with CLI. So thanks, Dan, for being with me again.
My pleasure. Always an honor, Father. Thanks for having me.
Start off with a prayer, our prayer for mission renewal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father, we entrust Real Presence, Real Future to your providence. Through your Holy Spirit, inspire us for mission and evangelization. Make us disciples after the heart of your Son. In times of uncertainty, grant firm resolve. When we're unsettled, provide peace. When we're timid, make us courageous. With our ears, may we hear your promptings. With our eyes, may we see your handiwork. With our mouths, may we share the gospel. And with our hands, may we serve you. Replace our hesitation with holy enthusiasm so that in drawing strength from the Eucharist, every endeavor of ours may be for your glory. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Dan, last time we talked, we were in the fall. We had we had not even yet started the fall sessions. We had administered the DMI. We were very happy with those results. So now that all the fall sessions have been completed, which is a Herculean task, as you know, over 200 sessions, and we were able to let people know that about 5,200 people, individual registrants, a little over 2,400 pieces of feedback in English, and a handful in Spanish, around 70 or so in Spanish. But so since you've worked with other dioceses in doing this, just what's your take on that type of feedback, the amount of it, the quality of it?
Sure. No, I think, you know, the Diocese of Columbus is, I think we spoke about last time, seems like ages ago, but really hit it out of the park. I think with the Disciple Maker Index feedback, that response was very healthy. And the response for the fall sessions was likewise healthy and normative for other dioceses of your size that we have. You know, we know in the church right now, which is one of our big opportunities always, but certainly as a part of Real Presence, Real Future, that there's really 5 to 7% of us who are doing a lot of the heavy lifting in our parishes, that are doing most of the volunteering, that are leading most of the ministries, that are doing most of the giving. And so what we saw here was normative as well with the fall sessions, that we saw about 5 to 7% of Catholics in Columbus registering for those and providing some feedback. So you know, that was kind of in line with what we've seen. And relative to the quality of the feedback, I think we got some very heartfelt responses, some ones that were challenging relative to a desire to kind of keep things the way they are, which is totally understandable and expected. Some really great glimpses into the uniqueness of some of the communities and what's important and what they wanted us to know about their communities. So, you know, we look at every single piece of feedback in and of itself, and I think there was a lot to glean from it.
So. Good, thanks. And we're continuing to think of ways and formulate ways to share that with people. So we're going to roll more of that out in March, some of the broader themes, and then obviously the second round of draft models. But one thing that was coming to mind too with the feedback and as you were sharing that, just the level of it, you know, so some people were saying that, well, we thought Real Presence, Real Future was more about evangelization, and here we are in these fall sessions talking about collaboration, some mergers, getting like where parishes are, you know, finding some more affinity with one another. So they're the expression of some of that, like, you know, we want honesty, we want forthrightness, and that's like very understandable. I guess kind of in response to that, we've been trying to say it's always been about both, but like at this point, in this particular period of time, especially with the process that CLI is providing to Columbus, and it's just the process, not the decisions. How would you respond to that? Sure. As far as like, is it about this or is it about this evangelization or structures?
It's always got to be about all of it. And I think, you know, from the first conversations, and people can check out on the Real Presence, Real Future website some of those webinars that we did even back in April of last year, where we were orienting some of the key parish leaders. We've had three goals. One has been prayer, mm-hmm. and to really help bring people to a closer relationship and in real presence of our Lord in their lives and in our church. And so, you know, the adoration efforts that we're doing, right. Eucharistic gathering, all of that has been a part of Real Presence, Real Future, mm-hmm. Father Adam's team, and that's a huge part of it and continues to be. But we also said from day one that planning would be a part of that too. And I think one of the things, you know, we took the Disciple Maker Index together last year. You know, one of the things that we have to recognize is that the role of our pastors in the life of our communities is really, really important. A parishioner in the United States today and in the Diocese of Columbus is 11 times more likely to recommend their parish if they recommend their pastor, four times more likely to say they're growing spiritually if they have a relationship with their pastor. Now, put a pastor in charge of six different places, it makes him hard for him to have a real relationship with people. So the structure has to support evangelization, which is why that planning component has always been a really important part. Now, I think Bishop Brennan said it in his kind of last video message to people, like, it's hard. It's hard to have those conversations. It's much more exciting and inspiring to talk about the ways we can reach out. But part of what's hindering us from reaching out is not attending to some of those planning, you know, and collaboration challenges that we have to look at.
Yeah, thanks. That's a good point. That has been hindering us. So a part of our solutions is just to, and it's in some places where we just don't have a priest to replace someone, or you know, parish sizes maybe getting a little smaller. Well, the solution is the neighboring pastor will kind of, you know, take that over. And we do need a bigger plan than that. And to that point about, you know, priests having, you know, being one man, limited amount of time and limited amount of bandwidth for like FaceTime with people. That does kind of respond to the DMI results, to what people were saying to us in the fall as far as we need greater lay leadership. We need maybe our deacons to be, you know, stepping up and more administrative roles. So those are all like things that you know, I think we can agree with.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't take away the priest ministry, right? But really just kind of support it and not make him just kind of some sacramental functionary. But so there's ways to go about that.
But even think about it, you know, Father, there's a couple – and sometimes we kind of look at these things compartmentalized. But if we look at them together, right, not only do we have fewer priests, but, you know, many of your brother priests are getting older. So imagine any of us who are listening to this podcast being 65, 70 years old and having your workload doubled or tripled. Not very fair to our priests and after especially a lifetime of service. Now you say, well, okay, let's just hire some more really awesome lay people who can do that. Well, that's great. I love the church. I work for the church. I would have a hard time supporting my family of six if I didn't get paid to do something.
Right.
So to hire and engage lay people, certainly we can draw on volunteers, but we also need competent staff, and competent staff costs money. And so some of our parishes have some funds, but they don't have funds necessarily enough to hire a lot of staff to help our priests. So all these things kind of relate together why collaboration opportunities are important, even if they're difficult to kind of reflect on, because getting more hands involved, getting more people out on the streets, whether they're clergy or lay, allowing them to do what God kind of created them to do, and creating those support structures, it takes money, it takes time, it takes resources. So we can't kind of talk seriously about evangelization if we don't also talk about the structure.
Okay. And like you said, also on the sort of the back end of a vocation, a guy in his 60s, maybe approaching retirement, people also made a lot of comments about, well, we're addressing the symptoms here, talking about the structure and stuff, but where's the emphasis on vocations? And that too has been a big part of it. We're you know, people have hopefully seen in like the Catholic Times an assistant director of vocations. We got some regional coordinators and stuff, but we can't really. It's hard to encourage vocations when you guys have it staring them in the face. Like, yeah, you might be multi-parish pastoring for your entire priesthood, and you know, where we're going to have some collaborations or multiple sites after a merger or something. That's understandable just with the geography of our diocese. But we want to give guys a realistic expectation that the life you live is not only sacrificial but life-giving.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
All these
ways. Also, you know, I mean, certainly the church provides, you know, in her laws for in circumstances for a priest to cover more than one parish. But that's not how it was intended,
right? Yeah,
what I know and have experienced from the good priests in Columbus that I've been able to meet is that role of spiritual father means something to them, and so they want to fully embrace that role. They don't want to just be in their car every hour driving around to multiple places just doing sacraments. It's more than that for them, And they want to be in that real – they want to have that real presence in the life of the community. You know, again, our research, we study parishes all around the country, and we see that from everything from hospitality to homilies to, you know, even parishioners feeling involved in decision-making, it lessens every time a priest has to carry one more parish. And so it's just harder. I run one organization, barely. It's hard to ask a priest to run multiple organizations and to keep that quality up. That's just really hard for anybody to do.
And for people listening, yeah, either to the podcast or on St. Gilbert Radio where they air these too, I mean, your priest really – care about what they're doing. And this, like talking about structures, like it really, like you said, it gets to the heart of our vocations, our fatherhood. And there's priests who respond saying, I'll do whatever it takes, you know, but that's to the detriment of their own health. We've seen it. And so they're willing in many ways to step up and do this. But like we've said before, multi-parish pastoring is not attractive. They'll do it. But it's not that attractive, not ideal. But these guys, they want to sacrifice. They want to love their people and pour themselves out for them. We want, I guess, respond to that and in the best way possible in supporting them in that, that desire.
That's right. Yeah. And so, you know, I think a big part of this is looking, you know, at facilities. And that sounds very cold or sterile or whatever. But again, we have a responsibility to steward these, you know, treasures that we have. You know, we have to think about it as we think about our own homes, I think, as lay people, right? If I can't kind of take care of my primary home, I probably shouldn't be investing in a, you know, a summer home, right?
Sure,
or a mountain home or whatever.
Yeah.
And our churches are our homes, and obviously our pastors and our priests want to care for those homes. And so again, giving them 3, 4, 5 homes to have to make sure that the lights are working, the roof's in good shape. That's a lot, and that was probably not on the top of their list when they felt the call from the Lord to be a priest. It was us. It was caring for the Lord's people and loving them, not necessarily managing all those buildings.
Dan, thanks for your time today. Thanks for all you're doing with Catholic Leadership Institute, not only with Columbus, but throughout the United States.
Well, thank you, and thanks to all the people in Columbus who are really working hard on this initiative.
Thanks for joining me on the Real Presence, Real Future podcast. You can view the episode on the Diocese of Columbus YouTube feed. Listen to the podcast on stgabrielradio.com or St. Gabriel Radio's app and anywhere that podcasts are offered. Until next time.